Lord, thank you so much for this day. And Lord, I just thank you for all the things that you do for us. And Lord, I just ask that you would move and have your way in this place, and that we would wake up to what you have to teach us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. How you guys doing today? Great. Well, hey, we're actually in the middle, this isn't one of them, of a series called For the Kingdom. So I suggest you come back next week, because I'm really excited about that and to continue that. However, as is the case, this message, the message that's next in the For the Kingdom series, which I'll explain next week if you haven't been here a while or you're new, I've actually had done for a couple weeks. And then God does things, like gives Blake something, and then we kind of pray. And I was like, you know what, we should probably let Blake do that. He was already a role. And then and then this week, I'm like, you know what, man, this is kind of cake. I'm already done. I can just coast into the weekend. And then God said, nah. So, and I really wrestled with that because I was like, Lord, it's already done. But I think it's interesting because I think this is still going to fit the series in a little way. Trying to think how to start this. I'm going to not start with what's actually on my notes. So this week, I think it was yesterday, AJ is going to be so happy if he's in here because I get to reference something regarding him. We were in the church, actually. I stopped by. I was actually coming here to work, and I stopped by the family room where some of the guys were hanging out. And, you know, procrastinating before I have to go back to my office and actually do stuff. While I was there, we saw this. Does anyone have ever heard of DDP yoga? No? Raise your hand if you have. Four people. All right, the rest of you, it's not real. Anyway, it's pretty cool because it's this former wrestler who has created this system. It's just yoga. It's kind of more intense, and people lose weight, and like just a program, kind of like P90X. Anyone know what that is? Raise your hand. Okay, Tony Horton. Everybody knows him. Yeah, so that's what it's about. Why am I telling you this? Well, it's actually crazy because the first time I'd ever heard of it was years ago in college, and they had made a video. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, about this very out of shape, couldn't walk. He had kind of crutches, the kind that are like permanent, and then it showed his transformation over 6 months or a year or something. He lost weight and he could walk again, all from doing this, from moving again. And it was able to, and it was pretty powerful. So over the years, I've randomly, you know how social media is, it knows what you're thinking somehow, and caught my attention with this story of this wrestler. This came up in an ad. It's the most ridiculous thing. It said power cuffs. I'm like, what's power cuffs? I don't know. It looked like tight things that go on your arm. And it was talking about this guy, and AJ would know more than me, so you can go ask him. He's a wrestling connoisseur. But I was a fan when I was a kid, and there was this former wrestler on there. And it showed a before and after from 6 months. And it's so radical, and if I thought of it, I'd show you the picture because it's really powerful. But I watched this ad, which then led to me going to YouTube and then watching the documentary, which was 20 minutes about this guy's life. And it was pretty crazy because the documentary actually focused on another wrestler who's more famous, who was his tag team partner, right? And then that turned to when he kind of got sober and straight, because a lot of times they're on drugs too, they're in a lot of pain. Those guys beat themselves up. So what happens is DDP, this former wrestler, he brings these guys into this house and kind of mentors them and walks with them. And so this wrestler he brought in, who was more famous, called his buddy randomly, who wasn't even supposed to be a part of it, and who was living in his car. So this guy goes from being on TV every week, and now he's living in his car. And the guy says to him, hey, why don't you come up here and stay with me because I've gotten clean and like things are changing for me. And he says to him, he goes, oh, that sounds great, man. My tires are bald. He's living in his car. And he's like, dude, I'll give you new tires. But what's interesting, stay with me, is he eventually gets up there. And when they're kind of interviewing him, like, oh, man, he came up there. He brought up the tires again. He goes, yeah, I couldn't get up here because of my tires. But he paid for them, and now I'm here. And then it told what happened. This guy his teeth had rotted out. So he couldn't smile. You know, he's used to be really fit and jacked. You know, he's almost 60 now, and he's a drug addict, he's alcoholic, all of those things. And in 6 months, right, the whole point is supposed to be the yoga and the life change, he changes. But when it interviews him, the whole reason I'm bringing this up is he doesn't really mention any of that. He does. He gets jacked again. They give him new teeth. It's really cool. Completely different person. What he says is, he goes, he says, someone cared. Right? And what that did was force him, because, stay with me, the tires seem to us so small, right? But in that moment to him, that was a big hindrance. That was something in his life that was, whether we think it's serious or not, preventing him from wanting to take the step he needed to change, right? Makes sense? We all have that. And what happened was they showed they cared. He knew they cared, but then it was shown by how they entered into his life and changed. But he still had to take a risk, right? He still had to make moves. By the way, y'all better wake up. Quit being sad and mopey, okay? Immediately the mopey people start smiling. You know who you are. That's called conviction. You knew immediately. I didn't say your name. I didn't even look at you. And you started, a couple of you grumpies are still being grumpy. That's okay. I won't say your name because I don't know it. I'm just kidding. I only call out the people that go here all the time. Hey, you're breathing. You're joyful, right? You're alive. You probably had some food. You're somewhat warm, maybe, right? I know this place is chilly. Yeah, there you go. Hey, bundle up. You won't be saying that in the summer because this place gets really warm. Hey, let's be here, okay? All of that leads me to, I'll come back to that. Anyway, I cried a little. I'll admit it. I cried. Or my allergies acted up, one or the other. We both did. So I want to ask you something, and you're going to go, what in the world does that have to do with this? All of you. I don't care if this is your first time, because you'll probably be like, oh, I feel called out. That's the point. Why are you here? What is the reason that you're here? Now, for some of you, you're here because you want to learn from God's word. That's good. For others, it's because you want community. You want people. That's good, too, and that's needed, and that's not a bad reason. For others, it's because you're supposed to. You're a member of this church, and you know that one of the pastors or deacons or community people are going to call you and ask where you've been after a few weeks. So you got to come every 2 weeks. You figured out the cycle, right? If you go three, they'll call you. Two, you're okay, right? I'm right. But so you know you're supposed to. And for others in the room, and I'm serious, I'm asking you, pretend I'm saying your name. Why are you here? For others, it's you're here for someone else. They invited you. That cute boy or girl, that friend. You're not even really here right now. You're just waiting for like the time after so you can hang out with that cute boy or girl. Boo, boo, boo. Boo, boo, boo. Don't make that face. That's you. I'm just kidding. I like her. She's nice. Aiden, good job. All right. For others, you don't really know the reason you're here. Even members of this church, if I'm honest, you come in here so mindlessly sometimes, you don't really know why you're here. But here's the thing. You want to know the truth? And I know this for a fact. I don't say that very often. I know this for a fact. There's something everyone in this room is looking for, even if you haven't admitted it, you haven't thought about it, or even really understand it. Every one of you, even you grumpies, I just want to come down and get you. You're here because you want change. You do. Some of you are going, I don't need any change. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you do. You're here because you need change. See, the baby knows. You want change. You want to be changed. Whether that's just growing in your understanding of God's word, whether it's maturity in your faith, but for some of you, it's a better marriage. For some of you, it's more peace. For some of you, it's more joy. For some of you, it's less anxiety. For some of you, it's to get over the addictions you can't seem to shake that you're afraid is showing on your face right now. To stop doing the bad things you keep doing. Stop doing the patterns of sin. To stop feeling shame because you love God, but you also keep choosing that specific sin that's a secret that eats at you in the quiet of the night. You want real change. We all do. Something real in this world of Snapchat filters, cleaned up social media posts, and a church that's more of a social club than a place where love, encouragement, accountability, real teaching, and Holy Spirit miraculous changes happen. See, you want change, but your mind says that's not really going to happen. You want real change, you want real life, and some of you are so frustrated, and that's what's cool about you. I'm serious, you grumpies, I'm actually about to give you some credit. What's cool about you is in the midst of your grumpy, in the midst of the fact you're frustrated, in the midst of the fact that you may not want to be here, you're still here because something inside of you wants it to be different, wants change, real change, not the one that lasts for 2 days, 1 day, 1 hour. You want something to change. Me too. I want to live in the fullness of the gospel. Now, immediately, some of you in the room say, oh, that's church talk. I'm not good at it. So if you're new here and you're like, that's church, I'm telling you, you're going to see any random time here when a thought comes in my head, an intrusive thought that I say I shouldn't say. I'm not good at church talk. So that's real. I want my life to reflect that I really believe this. And I do, but I want to really reflect that. Not sometimes, not on Sundays, not on when I feel up to it, not when I feel good, not when I feel motivated, not when I want to get up and go to church, not when I want to lead my family, not when I want to worship God, not when I want to love other people, not when I want to be generous. I want to do those things because it's all real. I want to walk in the miracles of the kingdom of God. I want to make tangible impact in people's lives. I want to really be salt and light in a world that has so many hurting people. How come I see more impact and change in a commercial about yoga than I do in the church? I want to live in the reality of the good news. Listen to what Jesus says when he walks in the temple and reads from the scroll in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 and 19, here it comes. Nope, that's not it. That is not it at all. Well, stay with me. I don't know where that came from. Luke 4, 18, 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then it says Jesus, which is such a Jesus thing, he said he rolled the scroll up, looked at everyone and said, the time you're looking for is now. I'm him. Amen. Why don't we live in that? Why doesn't the amen become an all the time? I'm talking to myself. Like, there's things we do in church that are good. They're not bad. But that's all it is. And it's one thing to say you believe, and it's another thing to say you believe and it's real when things are hard or when you have to give something up or when it's not making sense because you put your time in, right? You deserve good things. You deserve God to move in your life. You deserve what you want right now because you've decided it's been long enough. Or you just give up, right? You just live in that emptiness. This is it. Why does it not feel real sometimes? That verse stirs something in me, man, to hear God say, that's what I've come for. It does for all of us in this room, if you're actually listening. We want to know that. We want it to be real. And it is real, but why does it not feel real sometimes? Or at least real enough to live in the freedom and joy that seems so evident in the early church. I want an Acts church. Are you an Acts person? I'm not. Eyes are moving away now. I was in the shower the other day thinking through some of this stuff. You ever do your good thinking in the bathroom? I don't know why, man. Anything that happens in that bathroom, I get some good thinking. Thank you. Some people back there with me. Nice. Of course you do, AJ. That's your office. We're not talking. We're talking about the rest of us. I was in the shower, though, and it's funny how God works, man. The little things, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit. You know, I like to constantly be moving, which is not good. And what ends up happening is I was getting in the shower, and I was like, you know what I should do so I don't have to sit in the silence of water, because I don't want to sit in silence, because then my mind's, I'll play a podcast or music. And for some weird reason, I didn't. And I get in the shower, and I think I'm to the stage where I'm washing my hair. I don't know why I'm telling you, it's TMI. But I really started thinking through my life and the lives of some people close to me, some of you in this room that I know who are such good people, but struggle with shame and condemnation and loss of hope and bitterness. And you say you believe, but you run when it comes time to put that belief into action. And you decide when it's appropriate and when it's not. And sometimes you're not even to a place of bitterness. You're just hopeless. And you're faithful in hopelessness. And I started thinking to myself that it feels like we're all so stuck sometimes. You ever feel stuck? Then I had a weird thought to come to mind because I started thinking, right, about what do I do? How can I help those people? How can I change? Because then it turned to like, man, why am I so stuck? Why do I do the same things over and over again? It's like, I just need to focus. I really need to do what I know I need to do. Maybe set it's a challenge. I like to be challenged. Some of you don't, right? Some of you hear challenge and you run, right? I like that. Maybe set a challenge for myself, you know, some kind of amount of time. Like, I'll do this for 2 weeks or whatever. And maybe I can even encourage the ones I'm talking about to do it with me, and we'll really overcome stuff. And I'm sitting there and literally, and I don't mean to be hyper-spiritual, but I just had this thought out of nowhere of like 40 days. And I was like, I always say people, they're like, I'd like to get to know Todd. I'm like, I don't know you would, because I'm about to tell you how it goes from here. So then I go, 40 days. Yeah, that does pop up a lot. And then I start having a dialogue where I'm going, man, where does that pop up? And then I start to go, like, you know, I'm a pastor. I should know all of this. And I start to, like, actually count them up. And I'm like, how did I never really connect 40? I know, and then some of you are like, I talked to some of you after this about 40. And like, clearly, Todd, we have all known this since we were in, you know, children's church. I was like, I didn't, right? 40 days. It shows up a lot in the Bible, not the Bible, the Bible. You don't believe me? You don't believe me, David. You're supposed to say, I don't know. Anyway, I wonder why that is. That's what I asked myself. Well, let's think about it. We got any Luke verses that I gave you guys? Or are we out? Okay, you found it? Good. Thank you, guys. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. Drop down to Exodus 24:18. I know, I skipped you, tricked you. This is Moses. You remember that time? What's Moses known for? A lot of things. Moses and I'm about to chuck podiums. Moses and what? Ten Commandments. Quit acting, you church folk will talk up anytime I make a mistake, but you'll go real quiet when it's time for, all right. 24:18, what does it say? Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Later, and I think Exodus 35, it gives us more details. It's not a difference. Some of you go, it's different. No, it's a snapshot. Here's what happened in general. Here's what happened specifically. In that 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted. Weird. Jesus did the same thing. Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. You guys know Noah and the flood? How long did it rain? You hear my southern come out of there? How long did it rain? How long did it rain? How many? What? 40 days and 40 nights. Now there's tons more. How long were the Israelites in the desert? Thank you. Yes, thank you. He made it clear. That's right. 40 years. 40, right? Now listen. When you look this up, and I went and talked to some of you church folk that were raised in it, and you immediately were like, well, yeah, duh, Todd. It has to do with trials and testing. And that's true, right? There's a testing in here, and it seems to come up when some people even said judgment. God is judging. I don't necessarily that happens, but also when there's a testing, right? When there's a trial of some kind. But that's not what I thought of, because listen, I had a different T word come to mind. Right after, we're going to go back up. Remember I told you Luke 4, 1 and 2, Jesus went into the desert and was tempted. Guess what happened at the end? Luke 4, 14 and 15. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. 40 days and 40 nights of trial and temptation and hardship, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Exodus 24:18, Moses entered the cloud, went up on the mountain. I like this. Exodus 25:1, the Lord said to Moses, the Lord spoke. You want God to speak to you? No. Why are you here? Yes. And what I realized is, in these times of trials and temptations, and I think it's both, right? They gave up things sometimes. Other times they were being outwardly tested, and other times they were being tested to see, will you give this up for me? Will you be willing to let go of what you think is right to do what I know is best for you? And sometimes it's outward and external pressures, right, of things happening to them. The flood happened. And I didn't put it on here, right? There's a flood, and what happens after 40 days? And yes, there's the 7 days and all that stuff you guys are going to say. It stopped raining. 40 days is often associated with a time of testing, but this is what I've realized. That time of testing and 40 days is also seems to always be connected with transformation. Man, transformation. So some of you, because you're challenged people, like, I get it. He's going to challenge us to do something for 40 days. No. The number's not the point. We get so associated with trying to, like, figure out these, like, numerology. That's like magic and sorcery, okay? It's irrelevant. It's what it stands for that's important. And I can already tell, right, that some of you, even though I know you need change, even if you don't know, the reason you're going to leave today the same you came in, the reason that you're going to walk out these doors and it's going to be the same thing with the same addiction, the same struggle, the same sadness, the same lack of joy, the same lack of faith, all of these things is because right here, right now, you are already gone. You shouldn't be thinking about 40 days or 40 years. You should be thinking about 40 seconds. Can you do something for 40 seconds without going to where you want? Entertain me, Pastor. Make me pay attention. Is that faith? I can look out and see it, man. You do this long enough. Blake came up to me last week. It makes me sad, but it's true. And this is a little bit off the topic, but it's important for some of you. Not guests, because you don't come enough. He's like, man, you're right, dude. I don't remember how he said it, but essentially he's like, it's really hard because most of the time, over half the people look like they hate you. They don't want to be here. And he's talking about members. He goes, I get it now. I was like, yeah, man. You can't even come up here and expect that when you preach, you're going to get, yay, because ain't none of you yaying. I get an amen every 2 minutes, right? But then half the time it's in the middle of a sentence, right? And then I'm serious. I would never challenge you to 40 days. I would say, can you go 40 seconds? How about 40 steps to the altar? How about 40 miles to commit to a church? 40 minutes of a sermon. No, it's got to be within this because, you know, business tells us that's what it's supposed to be. 15 minutes, you're goldfish. And we go, ha, 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 ha. God's chosen people are compared to goldfish. God, every time that this happened, this judgment happened even, this 40s, anything, this time of either giving up, of struggle, of endurance, of judgment. It always led to those who were faithful, to transformation and miraculous things. You know why? Because God keeps his promises. The problem is, yeah, we can amen and like aim, and I'm not gonna be mean because then people are never gonna say amen again. But I do want to say, like, listen, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. The problem is a lot of people in the church today, in this country, in this room, you want the benefits of the promise without the 40. And listen, I nod too. And I'm going to preach this to you and I'm going to walk out. And if I don't do something legitimately different, which I can, again, you're half asleep. You certainly can't be like, yeah, amen, and sleeping right now. 40 days of testing, of trial, of tribulation, of fasting, whether really or of giving up what you hold so desperately to your way, because that's what it is. Because You believe God and want what he promises. Because here's the thing that's not popular to say. God's promises and his blessings are not free. All right, good. Some of you get mad at me. I like it because I'd be you. Let me finish. Snapshot. That's a good name. For it. Meaning, we have to be willing to give our faith and our trust and to give up our way in order to have his way. You can't have two different ways. That's why he says, Jesus, right? It's translated the way. You know, that's what the early church called it. Followers of the way. Not a way, not my way, not your way. The way. I changed, right? I'm telling you right now. We can come to this building and praise God for you being here. Me too. I can come up here and preach every week. But, and God is faithful and good. And the promise that's going to come in the kingdom, right? At the end is going to happen. For those who believe and put their faith in Jesus Christ, who've turned from their own ways, but what about the now? See, that's the hopelessness some of you have. He's left me here. He didn't leave you. You weren't willing to go the 40. You're not willing to go the 40. And it's interesting, too, even though I don't think 40 days, you know, 40 is the set thing, and we'll get to a little more, is a number of power or anything. It is interesting. What do they say? How long does it take to make a habit? What? Somebody just said 40. Maybe what? 21 days. Sometimes 30 days, right? 21, 30. The point is it's all up there in a point because there's something about human nature that we got to kind of get to the end of ourselves to create something new. You know why? Because we kind of act like goldfish. You know, rehab programs, all of those things have a set time. Why? Because if you do it too fast, right? Or even sometimes too slow, right? There comes a time when it's like the person wants to stay. And they're like, I feel safe here. And they're like, you can't. You got to go. Too slow, too fast. There's a certain predetermined amount of time where at the end of the day, it's going to be evident whether we really want the change. What does that look like? Like I said, sometimes, you know, and that's shown in the Old Testament. Endurance. A willingness to walk through things that are uncomfortable. You know, Jesus over and over and over again says it. He says, count the cost before you follow me. Some of you all, oh boy. This is why you know, Lord, I didn't want to preach. You're so bitter because you don't have a wife. That's typically the one. Women, you don't tend to get bitter, you get sad. A lot of men are very bitter because they don't have a wife. And you've waited 10 years. And I saw this the other day and I thought it was important. This powerful and convicting. What if the reason God isn't answering your prayer in that is because he's answering the prayer of others and he's protecting these women from you? I'm not saying always, but sometimes we got to take ownership in that. Ladies, you too. Next week, I bet any of these ladies here because I will talk again. Don't worry, guys, I'll get them back, right? But that's true of ladies, too. But I'm saying, like, my point is, you're not willing to go. You're trying to circumvent the desert. You're trying to circumvent the fasting. You're trying to circumvent the flood. You're trying to circumvent the giving something up, being different because you want it now, your way, and then how dare God not give it to you? And you're probably even a believer. But you're a believer that's not really believing. I hear it all the time. I'm talking, you know, I see it. I do it. Count the cost. Carry your cross. He who follows me, right? He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy to follow me. You are going to have to give something up to go where he goes. You cannot demand to God. Imagine Moses standing at the mountain saying, I'm not going up the mountain to you. You come to me. Don't you see that it's the same lie it was from the beginning? Who's God and who's not? You can tell yourself that's not what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. It's always been the same lie. It's always been the same twist. Who's God and who's not? And now you live in a culture, in a world where you can get all these messages, people who speak for God, who say, that's okay, because you are God. If you do XYZ, God will give you XYZ. If you donate this amount of money to this fancy guy in a suit who owns a jet, God's going to bless you. Just plant a seed of faith. But see, the thing is about that, that's not actually faith. That's just you turning the light switch on. You think you're the one that controls the power. And that's the deception of that false gospel. Because the 40 I'm talking about here, this concept is not the same thing as you owe me because I gave to you. It says, God, I will walk away to be close to you. If you go here and it means I got to walk away from this and I don't want to, but I will, everybody will do that. If I told all of you that tomorrow if you get up and if you run a mile every day for a week, you'll be the exact fit level and body shape you want, every single one of you going to get up, and most of you, are going to get up and run that mile. But if I tell you it might take 6 months of consistent dedication, that's not going to happen. You know it and I know it. And I'm not even just talking about, you know, external things. Let's talk about internal things. Let's talk about, I want to be a better wife. And I tried, Lord, you tried 22 minutes. And some of you say, I try, and you have to honor my try. No. You try and you fail, and if you really are following God, the 40 might be, I'm sorry, over and over. Well, that's pride. What if they step on me? What if they stand over me? What if they trample me? What if, you know, what is that phrase they say about a doormat? What if they make me a doormat? What if they do? What did God say? Well, Janie, the new Christian author, said, I don't have to do that. Who cares what she says? Why are you still unhappy? Men, it's the same thing. I don't want to love that, you know, XYZ wife of mine. She treats me like this. We'll talk about a lot of that next week. You want a good marriage? You a good husband? You a good wife? Come find out. Next week. Be 10 people here. Right? You want to be a good husband or a good wife? Come find out. Listen to these verses. That's the same thing. There's a constant reminder, and Paul says the same thing, you know, to the early church that Jesus said. Because remember, so many of them thought he was coming back immediately. Did you know that? He already miraculously came, so they're like, okay, it's been 2 weeks. He's coming back in the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. And then, things are getting hard. Remember what I said about seven days, you know, I'm committed to fitness. I didn't eat a donut one day, you know, or whatever else it is for you. How do we know who's actually, let's say a marathon. How do we know who's actually going to win the marathon? Two people both say, I'm going to win this marathon. First of all, who's going to win? We don't know, right? I'm going to tell you, first of all, who's going to win, the one that trains. Well, you're already thinking they both train. Some don't. This guy goes a month. This guy goes 2 years. Who do you give the better odds of winning? Who is actually committed to winning? The 2 years. And listen, we try to put this thing on God all the time. Like, he knows my heart. He does know your heart. That's why he knows if you're not willing to go the distance, you don't really believe. 1 Corinthians 9, 22 through 27. Listen to this. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, to the weak, I became weak. How many of you all right now ready to raise your hand and say you're weak? I already know some of you dudes. You already did. Great. You didn't have to. A lot of you, though, some of you fibbed. The other ones, you would never tell me that. Because you can't be weak enough to come to the altar and confess your sin. You can't be weak enough to say, I need a church home. And I need to commit. Not because this pastor wants my money, because if you're new and you're here long enough, you're going to find out. If you come and say that to me, I'm going to be like, keep your money and burn it or whatever, right? Because I'm prideful. Anyway, Listen to this. To the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. I already lost you. I don't want to be all things to all people. Why would he be willing to do that? Let's listen. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Wow. I do it for the gospel, and I might share with them in its blessings. And somehow that means I might have to become weak to win the weak, and I become all things to all people. I'm willing to do some crazy things. Why? Because that's going to prove that I believe this. Do you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we in an imperishable. So I don't run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. Keep it under control. Discipline's not 1 week, 2 weeks. Keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. There's a lot here. And you guys know I like to take usually chunks and go through it, and we're kind of looking at a concept here, but listen, he compares it to a race and boxing and beating his body into submission, some of the verses say. It's going, does that sound like a completely pain-free situation? I beat my body? No. It's miserable. You know, I went, it may not look like it, but I run quite a bit, and I went and sprinted and, like, couldn't breathe yesterday, and it hit me. I was like, man, I'm willing to go out of here and almost die for this. Do I do that for my faith? I'm serious. I couldn't breathe. Like, literally, for hours later, I'm concerned. Anyway, right? I discipline my body and keep it under control. For how long? For the race. For the whole race. If you want to overcome that addiction, you say you do. And I'm not even going to give it a name. Because they're in this room. And you say, and I believe you. See, you're confusing want with action. And you think wanting it enough is going to be enough. That isn't enough. If that's the case, I'd look like the Rock. You can't. It can't be that way. You have to, how far you want to go? Well, I didn't, you know, pop that pill that day. I didn't drink it that day. I didn't do it this time, and that's good, but like we got to start stacking it. Why? I failed again. Okay, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to be weak enough to talk to people and to say, you know, I need help? Maybe the addiction is something. You know, it could be what's on that computer. It could be addiction to manipulation. It could be all those things. It could be you're a bully, and you don't want to be, but you are. And you're like, you give yourself a cookie because you didn't yell at your wife one morning. And then you go into that cycle of you did it again, but you don't ever, no one knows it. No one hears you confess it. And here's the funny thing. Most of the time, you don't even confess it to God. He should just know you're sorry, right? We don't have a desire. Somehow we've taken grace even in this church and said, well, I can do what I want. How much do you want it? That's why some of you all get mad at me, because you come in here and you want me to say you can have everything you want, however you want, and when I don't, you literally glare. I wish I could take a picture. Dude, we should put a camera up here. And then I take some pictures, and I would love to put it on the screen because I would circle some of you. And then it's funny because, like, you know who you are. Then you get mad that I said that. To the weak, it became weak. We have to give things up consistently. We might have to walk away from something hard. You're in a relationship that's chaotic. It's not leading anywhere. You know it's wrong and it's bad, but you don't want to leave because you'll be alone, and that is hard. You want to win the race? That's the end, you know, the inward stuff we have to get. Like, I mean, the outward even. Like, we'll look on here. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says the same thing. You guys got it? No? Give me something. Put it up. Thank you. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. I love that picture. You're running a race, right? It's like somebody's got a bunch of weight on, like a weight jacket. You ever ran with like a speed parachute or ran with one of those heavy jackets on and you throw it off and you feel like Usain Bolt, right? Or you fall, one or the other. Point is, it feels incredible. We're surrounded by people watching us. Let's throw it aside and let's run with endurance. It's going to take endurance. Those sin issues that, you know, in 1 Corinthians, that could also be those things in our life that are on the outside. You know, some of you guys, it's not a sin issue. Some of you, it's a circumstance of life. Somebody sinned against you. Someone hurt you. These things are happening to you, and those are real. Those are real, and I'm not making light of them, and I don't want you to think I'm saying just pretend and smile. What I'm saying is, are you willing to walk through the desert to get to the promised land? Would you be willing to give up 40 days to hear God speak to you? What would you be willing? Would you walk it out? Will you walk it out? Because he said, follow me. You know, when he comes to the disciples, when he meets the fishermen and all that, we get so excited. I do. Every time he says, follow me. Do you know how scary that really is? Because I don't know about you, but I know me. I'd like to think, yeah, the first thing in my mouth is like, where are we going? And then I'm that guy. I'm the guy that's like, yo, why are we going through Samaria? This is ridiculous. You know, you sure we should be hanging with these people? Hey, Jesus, do you know they can hear us? You know, I think they're going to kill you. Like, I'm that guy. And he said, follow me. Follow me. Where? Wherever. There's another verse we were looking at last week in one of our staff meetings. He says, come and see. One of the Gospels, it says they came and they're like, hey, where are you? It's such a cool thing we were talking about because it's such a guy thing. The guys, it's disciples of John, see Jesus, and John goes, there's the Lamb of God, and they go running after him. And then he turns around and goes, what do you want? They go, hey, where are you staying? Right? Because we would never be like, hi, I really like you. Can I come hang with you? I just wonder where you live. And then Jesus says this cool thing. He says, come and see. Come and see where I'm going. Yeah, we have to be honest with ourselves. It's not the number that matters here. Listen. Listen to me. Even if none of those apply to you right now, maybe you're just in a place where your faith is dry and you've been going along and you've been doing good things for literally 40 years. And you're like, well, I've kind of come to the place where I'm not taught anymore and I know everything and et cetera, so it's like, okay, what are you willing to do to have a faith that feels alive again? I said feels because, you know, that's what you're looking for. You want a faith that's alive? Stop blaming everybody else because every time Jesus is going to say, are you doing what I told you to do? He is. That's what he does. It doesn't matter the time, whether it's 40 seconds or 40 minutes or 40 hours or 40 years. How long are you willing to go without that thing that you've been putting your life into because you know that God has more for you? How long? Are you willing to hold on? Now, here's why. Listen to this. And listen to this without your jaded heart, because I do the same thing you're about to do. I guarantee I do. Because you're going, okay, Lord, I'll wait. Listen to this. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that if we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have requests that we have asked of him. You know what that means? We can have confidence that what we've asked him, if it's in his will, by the way, that's where I can get caught up. Well, his will is not for me to be happy, but it actually says his will is what? I have good plans for you, plans to prosper. He says, I work out all things for the good of those who believe what? According to his purposes. Will you believe that? Do I? But it says, whatever you ask, he hears it. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we are going to have the requests that we asked of him. We're going to have the true heart's call. Jesus says the same thing when he says, which one of you, if your child asks for bread, is going to give him a rock? Or he says, hey, can I have some fish? And you give him a snake. He says, if you, who is evil, wouldn't do that to your children, what do you think I am going to do for you? What do you think the Father, the perfect Father, is going to do? Here's my point. I'm not telling you to wait and to give up in some kind of I wish it to happen, or maybe it'll happen. What I'm telling you is if you do what he says and if you follow him, 40 seconds, 40 minutes, 40 weeks, 40 years, if you're willing to do that thing you don't want to do, And maybe for some of you, if you're willing to just keep following in the midst of these trials, here's the promise I have. He is coming. He is going to answer. And you will, for lack of a better word, right? Enter the promised land. You will hear from him. And I don't mean that in some hokey way. I'm saying, I don't know. I'm telling you. We have to be honest. And I tell people else, I'm not going to tell you to like, we have to be able to trust his promises. Can you wait? Can you walk? Can you fight? Are you willing to do it? Because he told you to, and you know that what he has is good for you. And I mean, this could go from small all the way up to big. This is why I make a big deal about what Scripture says, the things you think aren't important in church culture. If someone has something against you, leave your offering at the altar and go make it right. If someone sins against you, go to your brother or sister. Seek unity. All of these things that we blow to the side, that's another example of running the race. Do what he tells you to do. That's hard. Do you read the Bible? Let me ask you, this is kind of where I landed. If you right now said, I'm going to do everything in my power to follow God for 40 days, I just threw it out, right? This is what I might do because I'm crazy. Todd, shouldn't you be doing that? You're a pastor. I don't mean anything. I don't do this all the time. My mind knows something wild's going to happen by the end of that. Some of you don't even read your Bible 40 seconds in a week. The only Bible you get's on this screen. And we wonder why we're starving. We're struggling. And some of you are prideful, and you wonder why you're struggling because you don't ask for help until it's too late. That's the same thing. So the question I have, you get your short message today. She's going to come play music, and I want you to think of a few things. Nah, she didn't. You're not used to it. I looked the other way, yeah. What are you willing to do? I don't know what's going on in your life. I'm going to start with the people that, like, stuff's just happening. You're going through a health issue. You know, you're struggling in your marriage. You've got a kid that you're really worried about. You're in a relationship that's struggling. You want it to get better, but you don't know if it is. Your family's falling apart. Your parents are fighting. You feel alone. You feel anxious. You feel scared. And I can't sit here and tell you how it's going to get fixed because I don't know, and that would be a lie. Here's what I'm willing to tell you. And ask you, are you willing to run the race while this is happening because you believe in the goodness of God? And are you willing to do what he's told you to do that you can control and let him handle the things you can't? You can't change your parents, right? You can't change when they're fighting all the time. But you can pray about it, and you can do your part, and you can read, and you can trust. You can't control whether your wife loves you. You can't control whether your husband's kind to you. But the question is, will you trust God in the midst of that? And will you do what he told you to do? You can't control, man, we can't even control our bodies, right? Like what's going on inside of us. And some of you in health struggles, I can't even imagine. What I would say to you is not so much what are you willing to give up, is like, keep walking. Are you willing to keep walking for 40 more minutes, for 40 more hours, or even 40 more years if you knew that by the end of it, you would see the miracle, right? Whatever that looks like, because you will see a miracle. I just can't promise you what it's going to look like. What is a miracle? It's when God intervenes in your life. What does it just say here? He hears you, and when he hears you, he's going to give it. So guess what that means? That's intervening in your life. We constantly turn our backs on everyday miracles. Sometimes God doesn't even change your circumstances. He changes your outlook. Some of you are lonely. Some of you have been hurt and abused, and I'm telling you things I can't even imagine, and I don't ever want you to think that God doesn't care or he's just like, suck it up. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is in this world, it can get really hard, and we can focus on that. What I'm saying, are you willing to focus on him and just keep walking for 40? 40 what? I don't know. What if you stopped worrying about how long and you just started worrying about what you're doing? Minute by minute, day by day, right? Stack those days up. And when you fail, you do what he told you to do. He said, come to me. Right? 1 John says that if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. How many times? Over and over again. That's why I like that it's a race. You might stumble. You know, there's people that have stumbled and still won the race. Stand up and run. And it doesn't have, you know, that's what I meant by change. You know, whatever the change is you're looking for. We have to look up on a screen and watch a wrestler get new teeth, and yet we act like our God can't make change. That guy was sitting and living in his car, and whether he knows it or not, God himself said, I got something for you. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing in this room, the believer that's been hurt? I was you. You're the D church. You got hurt. You've been burned by churches and pastors and people. Are you willing to say, Lord, I don't put my trust in them. I put my trust in you. I don't really like being connected to a church, whether it's here or somewhere else, but I'm going to do it because I trust that what you have for me is better. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up? How long are you willing to be loving and forgiving? Let me ask this question. What are we willing to do as a church, community-wise here? We say we want to be the remnant. We want to make an impact. But what happens? We can't even get all the members to come to church. And I'm not talking about if you're sick, because everybody starts coming up with the what ifs. You know I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the times you just don't want to come. Netflix is calling. We can't get people to serve, and yet we want to make an impact. We want to see God move, and he has. And we're taking the talent he's given us, and we're saying, I don't want to do more. What is doing more? I'm not even asking for a specific thing. I don't know what that looks like for you. We know we're growing. We know we need a new children's wing. We know all of these things, and yet we sit around and we're waiting for something to happen while not being faithful in what we can do. I don't even know what that means. Who are you waiting? You're waiting for somebody else's faith to make the miracle happen? Where's yours? I don't want to get involved. They're hard, and they're this, and they're that. I get it. But we're, you know, what is the remnant willing to do in this community? As a church? I told you, man, I didn't want to do this. Next week's is all nicely laid out in my normal format. It's got lists and all those things that you like, right? But I know, man, I need some areas of my life to change. I need to be a better man. And there's things I want. And the crazy thing is, I'm pretty driven, but I get caught up in like, you know, what I'm going to have to do. But I say I believe in a God who splits seas, you know, and heals the blind. And I think of the leper, right? Lord, if you're willing, Jesus said, I'm willing. He's willing to move in our lives, and the Bible just told us that he hears us, and if he hears us, he's going to answer. So if he hasn't answered yet, what's happening? Is he doing it to torture you? Is he doing it for you? Like I said, I don't have an eloquent ending here. And maybe this doesn't resonate with you. It does for me. Maybe I'm just preaching to me. But I got to be different, and I'm not content to be normal in the sense, you know, of like just getting by. I want to live in this and believe it. And I've seen miracles every time I've been faithful. Isn't that crazy? You know what I'm talking about. You had it in your life. You take that step of faith. You walk when it was a little, it would have been easier to quit, right? It's happened to look at Zeke, right? Zeke, you should have left. That's what they told you, right? What happened if you'd have left, Zeke? Like, you don't know his story, you should go ask him. He's an incredible man. He was then too, became an incredible man, met an incredible wife, right? Serves and does incredible things, becoming the leader you're supposed to have. We don't know what would have happened if you had said, that's too long, the pressure's too hard, I'm going to listen to all these people and I'm not going to stay. When he knew, right, you waited for God. Has it been easy? No. And there's 100 people out here. We forget that sometimes. We forget the times that we held on and he answered, or the times we gave up and it was worth it. 40 days, 40 minutes, 40 hours. All I know is God loves you. And if you put your faith in him, that he said you are co-heirs, you are adopted into the family, he is your father. He looks at you with the same love he looked at the son, Jesus. And you think when Jesus prayed, he answered, didn't he? And he's going to answer to you. Well, he doesn't answer and do it exactly. Well, so what? Quit questioning the how. And just trust that the Father is going to give to you what you need and what you really want. Because sometimes we don't know what we really want. But in the meantime, some of you need to what? You need to recommit your life. And I'm not saying in like re-salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. But you need to rededicate yourself. You need to say, Lord, I do turn it away. I let it go. I'm giving up my frustration. I'm going to stop waiting for my spouse to get it right before I get right. I'm going to stop waiting for my parents to get it right before I get it right. I'm going to stop waiting for Todd to be a better pastor before I go to this church. Or I'll quit waiting to find the perfect church before I commit to a place to grow and change like God has told you to do. I'm sad, Lord. I'm lonely. People are cruel and they're mean. And God and Jesus constantly reminds us, I know the servant is not greater than their master. And that's what he told us, right? They hated me and they're going to hate you. But remember what he promised. He said, don't worry. Don't be anxious or afraid. I've overcome it. I've won and so have you. And right now, we're just looking at the finish line. We just got to keep our legs moving. I didn't even say how fast. You just got to keep your legs moving. You got to keep moving. So you're going to have an opportunity to respond. I know it's kind of generic. I know it's kind of general because I don't know what you're going through. But I know, and I hope you get it here. You need, everyone in this room needs their 40 days in some way. There's something either you're going through or you need to give up. And you know it right now as I say it. A struggle you're going through and you've been waffling. You're struggling. You're about to give up. And God's telling you right now. Right through his word, run the race with endurance. Repent of the sins that are holding you back. Even the sin, right, of not trusting him. There's going to be people up here willing to pray with you and for you. This time is altar time. It's for you to respond. Here's what I would tell you. I know there's a lot of hurting people in here. God loves you and cares. I know there's a lot of people that are in condemnation and shame. God loves you and cares. You don't have to live in that. You know why? Because Jesus tells us that. And in Romans, it says there is no condemnation in Christ. So any shame you're feeling is not from him. It's from what? The enemy or that part of you that can't believe that he would love you and forgive you over and over and over. There's hope for a new day. There's hope for change. And there's more than there's a promise of it. But it's what I say at the end every time, and now it stops being a cliche, right? Don't leave the same as you came in, because if you do, you are choosing to. You get it now? And if you're in this room and you're here and you're like, I kind of like God, I get it and I know it, but you're not his. You can't ask for the blessings of God, the blessings of God's household without being in it. That's like asking the branch that fell off an apple tree, right? And that branch says, hey, I want to grow a bunch of apples. It can't. It needs to be connected to the source. And that's the same for you. The gospel and the good news is really simple. We sin, and we have sinned every day. Right? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have sinned. I don't even need to tell you that it happened from the beginning, because you've sinned. You've sinned. You have done wrong and you do wrong. And one time was too many. If the standard is perfection and you didn't meet it, well, that's not fair. Okay, well, what's your standard? Can I come into your house and hurt your family? Because I say that's not bad enough. We want justice, but we don't want God to be just. He has to be. He told us what the penalty for sin is. It's death. It's separation from him. And our lives and this world shows us what happens when the creation is separated from the creator. When the branch falls off the tree, and that's bad news, and we live in shame and hopelessness and addiction, and the Bible says we are slaves to sin. We can't, that's why you can't change some of you, because you're trying to do it on your own power, and you don't have the power to beat it. But the Bible tells us something incredible. It tells us what God did when we couldn't come back to him and fix ourselves. God invaded this earth, sent his only son, Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth existed. He lived a perfect life. He proved he was who he said he was through the miracles he did that you no longer believe because you don't even believe he moves in your life. I'm talking to some of the believers. It's zoned out. It's gospel time. Maybe you need to listen. Maybe you know of him, but you don't know him, or better yet, or worse yet, he don't know you. Jesus came and he taught us and he showed us what the kingdom is like and he said what the penalty is. And the good news is this. Here's the bad news. You can't clean yourself up. Here's the good news. He'll do it for you. Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross. That happened. He died an innocent man, a perfect man who did not sin. He did no wrong. He died a terrible physical death. The Father turned his back on him. 3 days later, he rose from the dead to prove he was who he said he was. He overcame death. And on the cross, he did something incredible. He took the sins of mankind on himself. He took our sins, the death that was for us. So what does that mean? Well, the Bible says that he offers us something. If we'll come to him and repent, that means turn away from our way and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. I want what you want. I don't get all this Christianity thing even, but I believe you are who you say you are, and I need you. He will take your sin, past, present, and future, all of it. He'll take your wages. He'll take hell that is destined for you, right? And in return, he will give you the benefits of his perfect, holy, godly life. It's a trade so that the Father forevermore will look at you and see spotless and blameless and pure and holy. And no one can take that from you. Not the world, not me, not anyone. What he's given, no one can take away. But you have to give up something, and that's you, right? Yourself. The Bible says if you confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and was raised from the dead, you'll be saved if you believe as he said he was. But in order to do that, that means you've got to walk away from you. Wherever you're at in your journey, there's people up here willing to pray with you and for you. Don't leave the same as you came in, because if you do, you're choosing to.